I am back. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Carol Borden, who founded and runs Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs and teaches a college-level course on dog training. The companion dogs she raises prove every day what we believe. All dogs can be good dogs. But dog training starts with people training. We're here to help you understand and communicate better with your own dog and bring out the best in him or her. Carol, those people that have the pleasure and the privilege of receiving the dogs that you breed and raise and train so beautifully are the lucky ones. The rest of us get our dogs from hither and yon and don't quite know what to do when a dog reaches, if we haven't been with a trainer or haven't, you know, read the dog Bible or any other good training book, when the dog reaches 6 months and is frisky and comes into their own and hits puberty. And please don't spay or neuter your dog before a year, everybody. I take every chance I can to tell you that. Do not do that. It will not calm your dog down. It will actually put them at risk for all kinds of medical problems. However, I got an email from someone in the Hamptons, where this show originates from and where I used to live, saying a friend has a 10-month-old Portuguese water dog, which is a wonderful, very lively, very active, you know, really a hunting, not hunting, but a working dog. And this dog, she doesn't know what to do. It's jumping up and it's nipping. So I thought, oh, nipping is something great for Carol and me to talk about. But the part that really made my jaw drop was she said, can you recommend a dog trainer in New York City or out here in the Hamptons? My friend has been quoted, I do hope you're sitting down, Carol, $450 an hour. This is an unaccredited dog trainer, just someone calling themselves a dog trainer. And I know that is going to make your blood boil. I was horrified. So that whoever is out there requesting that fee, go move to L.A. and go work for the Kardashians, because that is an absurd amount of money to ask any normal person with a normal dog or any kind of dog or an abnormal person. That's just obscene. Puppy nipping. So a 10-month-old dog is kind of technically a larger breed dog, a puppy, but it's awfully late in its life for it still to be putting its teeth on people's flesh. Can we talk a little bit about how young a dog has to be intervened with when they use their teeth on people and what to do when no one has stopped that from happening?
Absolutely. We have to first remember that dogs, this is the way they play. If you watch puppies while they're still in the whelping box, before they've ever been weaned, one of the activities that they engage in is starting to wrestle and chew on each other. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, they have a fur coat, so it doesn't hurt each other among them as it would us without the fur coat. And so that's when we start very early on, when they're like 4 and 5 weeks old, they're precious babies, but they're developing those little needle teeth that hurt. And so we start by teaching them little retrieves. And when they bring us a toy, you know, we're teaching them to use toys and not us. So as soon as they start to, and unfortunately, humans tend to encourage it because before those little teeth come in, we're sticking our fingers
right
in their mouth and
yes
letting them chew in our fingers
because yes
they're so cute, so sweet, that puppy breath. But we're actually setting a foundation. And instead, when they start with grabbing our fingers and so forth, we need to very gently take their mouth off of our hand, our fingers, our arm, whatever it is, and replace it with a toy and
yes
encourage that play. Don't just walk
right
away. You know, encourage continuing the play. What happens is early on, the dog is learning that he doesn't chew on humans, but he can chew on his toys. And not only that, he gets a positive response by bringing you a toy instead of chewing on your hand.
Right.
Now, the problem is as they age, if we have not been setting the proper foundation, now they're still grabbing our pant leg, our shoelaces,
yes,
our arms, our ankles, and it hurts. And we are no longer instilling any sort of self-restraint within the dog. One of my other radio shows, we talked about Leave It. So
yes
that's a great time
yes
to also use that on a little bit older dog. But you also have to substitute it. You know, the dog is obviously trying to get your attention, but in all the wrong ways. So what are we doing to make sure that this dog is getting plenty of mental exercise as well as proper training, just like we would train our children.
Yes.
You know, we send them to school to get educated. We teach them house manners. Why would we be any different with our dogs? We don't have to send them to school, but certainly we can educate them at
homeschooling.
Home.
Yes.
Exactly. So we're going to teach them self-restraint by switching to a toy. We're making sure a working dog, like you described in your scenario, is definitely getting an ample amount of physical exercise, outside running, throwing the ball, whatever that dog enjoys doing. He should also have some toys in the house to play with. Now, just because he has toys in the house doesn't mean that's enough to occupy him. He wants some interaction.
Yes.
So that's probably when you're seeing more of this nipping. Or maybe it's when you're running, you know, if you're playing or
right.
kids are playing, you'll often see dogs run and nip at that time because now we're inspiring the prey drive that is a natural piece of a dog. But what we haven't taught them is self-restraint in what situation it's okay or not okay. And that's incredibly important. So you really have to encourage them by removing their teeth. You can tell them, if it's an older dog, you can tell them, leave it, teach the leave it command, and then give them the ball and encourage play. And they'll very quickly figure out, well, she's unhappy with me when I do this, but wow, I get to do this
right.
when she's happy with me. So I'm just going to skip to the happy stuff.
And there could be people. Go ahead.
It doesn't happen in one lesson. You have to practice it and make it become a regular habit. All too often, humans get complacent or they don't understand they're giving the wrong message to the dog. And so it's really important to reevaluate what you're doing at home, when this occurs, and what are you doing about it.
That's very well said. The other thing that occurred to me was, as you were describing that, there are people who misunderstand the learning cycle. They misunderstand how learning, teaching, training takes place. So they could hear your advice you just gave and say, but wait, the dog put his teeth on me and I then said, which is the only thing you should say, and substituted a toy that I then played with him, whether it was a tug toy or a throw toy. And a person who doesn't understand how learning takes place would say, but wait, we just rewarded that teeth on me. But that isn't what got rewarded. What got rewarded was asking for attention. We changed it to something else.
Yes. We redirected the into the behavior we want. So it's not a reward, it's a redirect. And they need to understand the difference. It's very important. And the dogs, listen, if I ask a dog to do something and he really doesn't thoroughly understand that new exercise, he's going to do everything else he knows
yes.
how to get a positive response
yes.
from me. So if I ask him to go turn on a light and he's not real sure about it, he might go close the door instead.
Right.
Because he knows he can do that really well. He wants to please me. So
that's
if you
sweet.
Teach them to that but the ball, playing with the toy, is more fun than chewing on my arm, you get an assertive, harsh response from chewing on my arm, but you get a happy place from me when you do the right thing. Then that is redirection, and they are going to move to the positive.
Now, what about people who make up language that they think is going to solve it, as if they're talking to a foreigner from another country that doesn't speak English? They go, no bite. Like, what? What does that mean? First of all, we don't say no bites, no jump. We don't say that. We don't say no to the thing they're doing, but we say it because we're dumb. No bite. If the dog is going to go, yeah, I gotcha, mom.
This is something that I talk about all the time. Human beings are supposed to be the most intelligent species, and
Thank
yet
you.
We are constantly expecting the dog to come to our mental capability.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog was not brought up and born speaking English. He speaks dog. We need to speak dog.
Yes.
And think about back in caveman days, you know, caveman wasn't having intellectual conversations. He didn't have any training tools. You know,
he didn't have a clicker.
No clicker, no collars, no leashes. So they had to figure out how to communicate. And it is really very basic. We overcomplicate a dog's life. If we are just very basic by making sounds that are appropriate, you can certainly add a word and be consistent with the word, because then the dog will make word association. But first and foremost, we have to check our body language and our tone of voice, what it is we're asking for. For example, dog comes up, grabs my arm, leave it. It's firm, it's not mean, it's not abusive, but I immediately have a toy and say, hey, let's play ball.
Right.
And throw the ball. And so my tone of voice completely changed. My body language completely changed because I'm tense. I'm kind of, more in a tense state when the dog grabs my arm and I tell them, leave it. But then all of a sudden my body becomes fluid when I throw the toy and
right.
play with the toy.
And become
and
happy.
So my
it's
whole
happy.
Body language changes. Yes.
So you do, if you want to start dealing with a dog who's mouthy, that's like the polite word. When people say nipping and it's a 10-month-old mm-hmm. dog with grown-up teeth, are you saying the dog bites people? Because at some point, you've heard
that.
This, right? With dogs that are mm-hmm. that are in shelters. Well, he nipped somebody. No, probably he bit somebody, okay? Because puppies nip with little tiny, mm-hmm. very unpleasant razor teeth. But when a larger dog closes or clamps down his mouth with his teeth on your flesh, do not call it nipping. The dog is biting. Now, they may not be using a lot of jaw pressure, and there's all different ways to quantify that, breaking the skin, not breaking the skin. But as we get older, our skin becomes more fragile, so it's easier to break it.
Sure.
But nipping sure. is a euphemism for a dog who is biting by the time they're 10 months old. The thing that I wanted to say also, Carol, is if you want to deal with this on your own, and you can, you got to listen to the show about Leave It. And I do believe my mm-hmm. book, The Dog yes. Bible, has a very simple, step-by-step, very straightforward way to teach a dog to leave it. You can't say leave it about another behavior you don't like unless they already know what leave it means and they get rewarded for leave it.
Correct.
You can't just throw Correct. In the – like it's like people when the dog jumps on them, and we'll do jumping in another episode, and they say down. But down is another command. To lie down, off
is
what you want. So you can't mix
That's
up
correct.
These various words and expect the dog to go, okay, in this situation, leave it means don't put my teeth on your arm. But in that situation, it means don't eat the pizza crust and so forth. You have to be consistent. I just want to share with you, Carol, something that I developed, and I have it in the dog Bible. I wonder what you think of this. Because a lot of dogs like to pull on something, and all those various kind of rubber double-ended tug toys have never appealed to the dogs in my life, and they're unwieldy to deal with. I make something called towel burritos. I cut up, I either take hand towels and roll them and then duct tape them in three or four places, making them into a sausage shape, or cut up a larger old bath towel into three or four. And I have lots of burritos around the house with a dog who has issues of using their mouth on anything that I don't want them to use it on. And so I offer them the burrito. They come to put their mouth on me in whatever way, or even bringing a toy that is too small to play with safely. Mm-hmm. And I offer them the burrito and go, tug, and they love it. Or I'll throw the burrito and they bring it back. Do you have any thoughts mm-hmm. about that? Because I can't do it with a stuffed animal. That gets destroyed in no time.
Sure. Sure. Well, what you're doing is actually a form of redirection. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In our world, we do not encourage tug war. It
right.
is not a game we allow to be
right.
played with our dogs, because depending on the nature of the dog, if the dog is always having a tug of war and winning, that puts him in an alpha position. And so we're really careful about
right.
keeping our dogs mentally even keel.
Yep.
Because while they do have to make life-saving decisions all the time, we also don't want them taking advantage in other scenarios. And so if we teach them to be alpha, then that could become an issue down the line. So for most household pets, it's probably not going to be a big deal to play tug of war unless you're experiencing other times that the dog is not listening to you, which now we have to go back to
Right.
training basics and find out why that is. Have there been steps skipped? But you know, like I said, tug war is probably okay to a point in pet homes, but it's not something we allow.
We should do a whole show on tug and what alpha means and so forth. I didn't mean a full on, you know, escalated, adrenalized tugging mm-hmm. of war. I'm saying the towel burrito is something you can have lots of them around the house. And
sure.
And keep one in your back pocket if you have a dog that's really an issue, or just have them around mm-hmm. so that you grab that, they take the other end of it. Then you can even say, leave it and then throw it and then bring it. Anything to redirect mm-hmm. them from your arm. I just think that
absolutely.
If you can have something around the house of which there's many of them. Now, it could be mm-hmm. could be tennis balls if that's what motivates your dog. The problem with that is that you got to then go pick it up, and maybe they grab it out of your hand because they're excited. Now they've put their teeth on your hand. I'd rather have something where they don't have any contact with my hand as something that I mm-hmm. could offer them instead of my arm. Okay, so
sure.
So we may go into, you know, older dog nipping / biting in another show. But for puppies, you start young. You don't let them exercise
yes.
that. You don't get mad at them. You don't obviously hit them ever. But you don't talk to them crabby and angry and say, no bite, bad dog, and go in the naughty chair. Or, I won't play with you if you do that. A lot of people think, oh, the good thing is to shun them after that. They're just trying to interact with you, as Carol said.
That's
they
right.
want to play.
You just compounded it.
Exactly. So make it a positive thing, but not with your flesh. Carol, thank you so much for yet another helpful episode on how to live best with our dogs.